All right, well, good morning. We're here with Dr. Lloyd Kim from Mission to the World, and thank you for joining us this morning. Why don't you just give us a little update on what you're doing right now and MTW's vision for the upcoming year?
Yeah, that's thank you for the opportunity to share about that. Our vision really isn't any different than it was before, year to year. We want to see the gospel of the kingdom advance throughout the world. And when we say that, what we're trying to articulate simply is that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed. We'd see more churches planted. We'd see more people coming to faith in Jesus and bowing the knee to King Jesus. And families being changed by the gospel, marriages being changed by the gospel, children coming to faith. Businesses would be affected by believers who do so with, you know, conducting their business with integrity, and those in governments the same way. We want to see Jesus's the gospel of the kingdom advance throughout the world. And the way that we're working toward that end is by making disciples among the nations. And it's simply leading people to this amazing radical relationship with Jesus so that they would take the sign that they are followers of Jesus to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and then continuing to invest in these followers of Jesus by teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commands. And so, I mean, you ask about vision, what we're focusing on. That hasn't changed. We have asked our missionaries a couple of years ago, if God were to send you a bunch of other recruits, what would you do with them? And they said, well, we'd always want to see this new city reached. We always wanted to see this new country reached, or this unreached people group, or this campus ministry. And when they added them, when we just said, that's great, let's add up all these numbers. And we came up with some field goals. And so for the next eight more years, our goals are for 2030. We have, you know, in terms of what do we do day to day and seeing the gospel of the kingdom and accomplishing our mission, we're pushing towards these goals that our missionaries are saying, you know, we'd love to see 468 new churches planted and, 29 new campuses reached and 212 church planting support ministries started. So those are the things that have been occupying our time day to day, year to year. So we're pushing towards 2030 to see these goals at our fields. And it's not just like random places. It's like these specific areas, these specific cities, these specific campuses. And we've given these numbers over to our recruiters and said, let's go find these folks who, the field is saying, our leadership, our national partners and our missionaries are saying, you know, this is where we would love to see the kingdom of God advance. And so those are things occupying the folks on this side of the ocean in terms of trying to pray, you know, praying first, of course, to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, but then also challenging individuals to say, is God calling you to this city, to this country, to do this work, to do this ministry? So you got me started, Julie. I'm sorry. Once
keep going. That's fantastic. We love to hear all of that. Are there certain areas that you've seen that are growing specifically around the world? Or
yeah, so please. Oh, that was okay. We are seeing certainly a great response to the war in Ukraine. And obviously it's been challenging for our folks and our national partners who've come out and are trying to continue to minister to refugees and continue to minister to those who are suffering. And as tragic as it is, and we would never wish it on any country or any family or any society, war has its, you know, its ugly consequences. And at the same time, we see, in the midst of all this, God through his Holy Spirit bringing people to himself. And so much of this is happening outside of Ukraine in Poland and Romania, other European countries that have been receiving these refugees, mostly women and children. And we are seeing people respond in terms of greater interest in Eastern Europe, particularly in ministering to Ukrainians, but also seeing opportunities to come alongside the church in Poland and in Romania and other places. So those are some exciting opportunities. We are seeing greater needs and opportunities that are opening up in sensitive countries, countries that have Muslim background people. And so it is obviously a challenge in those areas, and yet there are more people asking about Jesus than we have people to tell them. And that has created a huge burden on those who are there laboring and working in those areas. The reason why they feel overwhelmed and burnt out is not because of the environment and the hostilities of those in the context where they're at, but actually just not having enough hours in the day to disciple the people who are asking to be discipled and feeling that burden. So those are just a couple areas where we're seeing opportunities that are presenting themselves widely.
That's great, though, that people are hungry for it. We were just talking before we got on about the relationship you have with RUF. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
Yeah, that is something that we are super excited about. We've always partnered with RUF and have been open, but there seems to be a much more intentional focus, and we're putting in structures to help facilitate what we hope to be a pipeline of RUF interns and students and those who seek to engage in campus ministries all over the world. So the way we currently engage with RUF is primarily in two ways. One is to actually start RUF chapters globally. And this is called RUFG, RUF Global. It's different from RUFI, which is sending campus ministers to universities in the United States to minister to international students. RUFG is sending missionaries, RUF campus ministers, through Mission of the World as missionaries in places like Colombia, Japan, places in Europe, where they would be on a campus and essentially with the same philosophy of ministry DNA, church-based ordained ministers going and being campus ministers in these global universities. And Mission of the World loves it because we see this as very much a part of our shared vision and mission in seeing the gospel of the kingdom go forth, connected clearly with the local church. The second way that we're seeing more intentional efforts being progressed is through really hosting interns. And so we have really through the leadership of Lauren and Peter Dishman have helped train a lot of our fields to receive RUF interns, where they would come and catch a vision for the campus ministries and how they might tie into the church planting work that we have in these different locations. So we have now identified seven different sites. They've gone through the training. We've really tried to coordinate well. We have wonderful advocates in RUF. Chad Brewer is the director of RUFG and is very much an advocate for Mission to the World and seeking not only to send but long-term missionaries, but also interns. And so we're just really super excited about how God might use this to create that pipeline for that 1% to meet these field goals to see our vision and our mission go forward.
Wow, that's exciting. How many, like through the RUFG, how many campus ministries do you have outside of the United States?
I think we have probably about four or five, and it's growing. So it was a slow ramp up. I think we needed to set up all the memorandums of understanding and, you know, kind of sort out, okay, who's doing what. And I think we're actually at a very healthy place where those things have all been settled. And now it's just more a matter of letting people know of opportunities and sharing the vision and seeing what God does in the hearts of people. So more and more RUF chapters are being, and these are part of those field goals, those 19 new campuses that we want to see started.
That's exciting. I'm going to toss it over. Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Kim?
We just did our prayer this Sunday evening to send off Caroline McWhorter, Caroline and Carter McWhorter for Thailand. Caroline raised in this church, her father on the other side of Bubba here. It chairs our mission board, her grandfather, longtime missions chairman. What's the new recruiting looking like for new missionaries?
Yeah, that's another great question, and we're still learning a lot. We've invested a lot in trying to understand the millennial generation. And the strange thing is, as time passes, the millennials become older and a new generation comes up, and we have to learn all over again what that generation is like. It's strange. So, but as students of the folks that we're trying to challenge, and it's not just the younger folks, it's anybody that God can use. But some of the things that we're learning in terms of our recruitment, for the millennials, and now, first, no one would say they like stereotypes, and nobody likes generalizations or to be put, you know, kind of in a pigeonhole, to say this is who you are. But, we understood from our interactions with millennials that they had a huge heart for the world, and it's beautiful. Very much raised to believe that they were, the generation that's going to change the world, and they're more globally connected. And so we did have lots of candidates, millennials come through, and we still do. And we're really encouraged by that. They also, and this, we're not making any value judgments about different generations, but had certain expectations with discipleship, mentorship. Not that they would disciple and mentor, but they would be discipled and mentored. So you have field leaders who've been on the field for many years, who may not have had those expectations themselves, and their experience has not been the same, but they are now expected from the younger generation to say, well, here I am, you know, like, you need to pour into me. You need to, you know, walk with me. And so we're helping to, all of our missionaries to understand, okay, there are some different expectations, and let's just make sure we're all on the same page. And sometimes, those who have come from, the millennial generation, have great ambitions and great, you know, this is the generation that, sets up a website and has videos of themselves doing these great things and posting. And so there's a lot of opportunities there, but there's also a lot of kind of, an idealism of what they could do. And quite honestly, missions work is hard, and you get beat up, and things don't happen how you want. And you realize, oh my gosh, maybe I'm actually, you know, not being as helpful or useful as I thought I would be. And so there's kind of a dissonance there. Those are just some reflections. Wonderful, beautiful, folks in that, particular age segment that are doing great work. Not all, but, you know, these are just kind of broad brush strokes. The generation following them has actually grown up in a context where there's a lot of fear in the world. So these are folks who've most recently been through a pandemic, and there's, a lot that has, you know, there's war, we're talking about young 20s and folks. So they're much more hesitant about jumping into things overseas. They're much more cautious. They're much more anxious. They tend to be more fearful. And so the numbers of people who are saying sign up are probably less than the previous generation. But I will, and also I would say, even with the millennial, that was probably the tail end of when, doing missions or Christianity, particularly in the West, was not a negative thing. It was probably neutral, if not positive. So if you said, I'm going to be a missionary, people are like, oh, good for you. That's great. Go, you know, you're helping people. But with the younger generation, there's more barriers in that when you say that, people might think, oh, you know, you're promoting imperialism or colonialism, and it's not neutral anymore. It might actually be negative. So those are the challenges and the barriers that we have towards recruitment. Is even if the individuals that we're recruiting don't have this view, the larger society might look upon what they're doing in a way that, you know, it's not as positive, if not simply neutral. So what does that mean for recruitment? What that means is the candidates that do sign up, these are people who are in it, who are committed, who are mature, who've worked through all these things, who have a grit and a persevering tenacity. So we might have fewer candidates, but we have, I don't want to say better necessarily, but we have stronger candidates because they count the cost. They've said, yeah, we may actually bear some reproach in our interactions with the larger society in pursuing this gospel ministry. And they believe what they're doing and are willing to suffer in that sense for it. So that's a long answer, but again, you got me started, so.
me and one of the old guys in the room, you know, I know you've got, and this was a concern and, you know, an issue in terms of recognizing that people are retiring. And is there a net gain or loss in terms of, you know, just the dynamics of people coming off the field versus people going out?
Yeah. Great question. COVID has been hard on our mission force overall. And if you can imagine the isolation and perhaps loneliness that we may have felt here, just imagine how that would be like if you're in a context where the approach to COVID was much more draconian. People locked in their homes, couldn't go out without permission. Police on the streets, telling people to go back to their home if they don't have the right, you know, this has been very challenging for our missionaries in many contexts. And so we are seeing more missionaries coming back, quite honestly. Those who are near retirement age may have retired a little bit earlier. Those who have been in difficult situations have said that we need to come back. So while we are seeing more missionaries, we are seeing missionaries being deployed. In fact, during COVID 2020, we had the third largest class of missionaries than we've had in 9 years. That is being sort of balanced by those coming back. And so we don't have a net gain. We've actually just in this last couple of years may have plateaued or have leveled out, have kind of equalized. But maybe this year we might see a slight decline. So that's where we're at. We're still very hopeful. But it's been challenging, quite honestly.
Lloyd, what if any is MTW doing at the local church and planting the vision for ministry for missions and help recruit people to go on the mission field?
Yeah, that's a great question. And
classes, is there training? Is there classes? Is there material that we can use?
Yes, there is. And what we are doing to help the local church is first, the first thing that we've done now several years ago is we've tried to decentralize because we realized being in Atlanta, we can't serve the whole nation being in Atlanta. So we now have 5 different hubs, mobilization hubs. And one on the West Coast, one in the Midwest, the Northeast, the Southwest, and in the Southeast. And these hubs are really set up to be partners with the local church for mobilizing the church towards missions. And we have developed some discipleship material that is on our website. You can download it, Kingdom material, and but also working with your hub leader team. There's in the Southeast, we have the most folks, obviously, because of our presence here in the Southeast as a PCA. And Carolyn Phillips is a part of that team, and so she's focusing with her with several others in the Birmingham area. But we also have folks all throughout the Southeast, and their job is to come alongside you at your request to help share best practices and to share resources and to share ideas and to help with different events that Missions of the World and or in partnership with others would help put on to help recruit and to mobilize this generation. So we probably have the most resources and the most people involved in it now than we've ever had before in Mission to the World. And super excited to have people like Carolyn and others with experience who can talk to missionaries, who can explain what it's really like, who have the credibility of those who've gone forth, and to really share the vision of what God is doing.
Thank you. Carolyn's been a great resource.
Yeah, Carolyn's on. You may not be able to see her little icon there, but she's up there. Yeah.
Yeah, I see her name, so I was like, all right.
Yeah. How about a Global Missions Conference? Any of those in plan? Oh, there she is.
yes. So this we were hoping to do it next year, but somehow COVID has all the people who want to do conferences have just been waiting. And so as we're negotiating with different cities, we're like, oh, we're booked, we're booked, we're booked. And so we would rather do it well and do it right and do it in a place that makes sense in 2024 than try and squeeze it in a less ideal time and environment in 2023. So the Global Mission Conference is planned tentatively for 2024. And there'll be more information coming out once we've secured a city and a location to host that.
Anyone else have any questions?
What do y'all, I guess M&A is in charge of anything in the United States as far as, I mean, probably a lot of places in the U.S. need missionaries to go to them. But is there anything MTW doing other than having these hubs to encourage people to go overseas? Is MTW engaged here in the United States in any kind of outreach?
Yes, we are, and in partnership with M&A, there is in no sense a competition, no sense of any. I mean, we love our brothers and sisters in M&A who are doing God's work in planting churches and have gone, have made huge progress in cooperating, communicating one with another. The two areas in which we engage in North America are with Native American ministries or First Nation people, whether in Canada or the United States, and then also ministering to those with Muslim backgrounds. So those are things that I think we uniquely can contribute to the work that M&A also is very zealous for here. But M&A works primarily through presbyteries and churches to engage the local church, to engage in these works. We send long-term missionaries who work specifically with these populations living with and among them. So it's a little bit different, and I think we can complement each other in our respective ways of approaching huge opportunities. There's more work than obviously any one agency can do, and I think we both recognize that and appreciate each other.
Well, we might take a minute and go to prayer. Is there anything in addition to what you sent us for your prayer request that you would like us to remember in our prayer?
Yeah, they're generally broad and consistent, the prayer requests that I have, but they really are the things that are on our heart and mind. I do have maybe just a personal request, and I understood that Pastor McRobert's wife fell ill, got in an accident back in general. I'm just curious to know how she's doing.
Yeah, I asked him that yesterday. She's pretty much recovered from that, I think. She had broken ribs that extended, the pain and discomfort for quite a while, but she seemed to be doing well yesterday.
Okay. Wonderful. Thanks for the update. Please stand by.
Your own family. Yeah. Your kids are off to college by now, at least two of them, or all three maybe not.
We still have one at home. She's a senior, and we're really grateful for the time that we have. We're a little anxious about what life will be like without kids at home. So any advice, we're completely open to it. I have a son who's in college, junior. And my oldest graduated this year, and 2 weeks ago, two weekends ago, got married. So I had the privilege of walking her down the aisle and giving away part of my heart to this young man who we love and have embraced, but it was hard. So,
wow.
I'm about 6 weeks into the empty nest. I don't have any advice yet. I'll be praying for you.
Let me know how it goes.
All right, Bubba, will you open us
in
time,
will
you,
Bubba?
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time with the Lord to hear about MTW and all the different ministries that are going on around the world. So, Lord, we lift it up. We pray for new recruits to come in to fill these many opportunities that are everywhere. And Lord, just hearing about people coming to Christ in Ukraine, we hear all the horrible things that are going on there. So it's nice to hear the encouraging things and the people coming to Christ and the people reaching out and supporting all the refugees that are coming out of that country. So continue to meet their needs, Lord, and lead many to Christ. And Lord, for the RUF and MTW ministry, and what an opportunity that is to get on college campuses over there, and also as we get on campuses here through RUFI to make a difference there. And Lord, I pray would you would be with them as they try to understand these different generations. I definitely don't, but as these younger generations come up and their mindset and the way they think, and Lord, we just pray for a revival for everybody, but particularly for young people, Lord, that are in our country challenged with so many false teachings when they get into college. So I pray that through RUF, G and I, and RUF in general, that can make an impact in the college campuses. So, and Lord, as you work through the, I guess you call them the hubs there, as you reach out into our churches here in this country to make us all more mission-minded, and that we can raise up more missionaries out of our own churches, Lord, that we can be sending them out. So we thank you for Caroline and Carter, as they have been in the field, but now they are going again to Thailand, that you would be with them. And Lord, my own daughter Carolyn, you would be with her and her different ministries that worked with MTW. So Lord, again, there are just so many opportunities there, and we are so blessed. So give us wisdom as we go forward at working in these different areas. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together with Lloyd, and we thank you for the ministry and the mission of Mission to the World, Lord. We just pray that you will open doors and send missionaries out into the world, Lord, so they can hear your good news. Lord, we thank you for our personal contacts here in the state, Carolyn, and all she does for us, Lord. Bless her and protect her, Lord. We just ask all this in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Lloyd Kim, for his leadership with MTW, and just for his vision, his demeanor, the role that he's filled not only with Mission of the World, but in terms of forging strong working partnerships with Mission the North America, and RUF, and the other denominational agencies that would work together to build Christ's kingdom here and establish leaders and teachers and people who will go out and spread this gospel around the world. And so we thank you for him. We pray that you continue to give him good strength and wisdom, endurance in this role that he fills. It's been, I can only imagine, is very demanding. And pray for him as a husband and father as well, that you would just guide his steps there as he continues filling that vital role in his own family. We pray for the organization of Mission of the World, and the standing committee, the permanent committee, the many others on the staff at the headquarters, and those that are scattered about in these hubs, and just the great role that they are filling in across the country, to engage with local churches and presbyteries, and to continue recruiting and helping churches sustain and support missionaries as they go out. And we do just acknowledge the great need around this world, here locally and in many other places, broken places. This war in Ukraine is just one very visible reminder on our minds, and yet so many other places where the brokenness is very evident, and yet missionaries go out and speak your truth and bring the light of the gospel. We pray that would continue, that you would raise up new generations of people to go out and lead them through their idealism and their fears and all the other things that you've dealt with us as people throughout time, and that you would call your people to go and to share this gospel. So we thank you for this time, and we pray that you would be glorified in our own lives today as we serve you. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.